Bloody actors. It's impossible to schedule sessions with them. Therefore, you will now get a daily interview from my days at GothCon, the biggest RPG-focused convention in all of Sweden. Enjoy. Sweden Rolls, once again, welcome back, dear listeners, to another GothCon interview. This time I'm joined with the esteemed game creator, Christer Sundelin.
Hello.
You have been creating games for a very, very long time, and your most recent game, Troubleshooters, is really getting a big hype right now.
Yes, and I'm very happy for that. We released it this fall. And we're now about half a year into the sales, and we're going really. It's going really well. In Sweden, it is the number one at the science fiction book Handeln, together with Mörkborg. Mm-hmm. I am not sure about the international sales, but we have had really good reviews. Mm-hmm. The most fun one is the French one.
Yeah.
Yeah, a French, which I read through Google Translate. My French is not that bad, that good. And they started with saying that why have nobody made this role playing game before?
Yes. Maybe we should do an elevator pitch just for anyone out there unfamiliar with this new game, Troubleshooters.
Yes. Imagine Tintin the role playing game, but without the actual IP.
Yeah,
it is a world set in the mid-1960s, the age of international spies.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
It is about international travel, mystery, adventure. I sometimes call it fantasy tourism. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You basically what Karl Barks and Hergé and all the other great comic artists at the time did was to subscribe to National Geographic, mm-hmm. and then. They read it, found a cool place like Tibet or the darkest corners of Africa or something, and then they thought, I will make an adventure about this. And then they did, which is why you can often see in their comic panels exactly what pages they stole, what photos they stole.
Ah, okay. So if you know the Natural Geographic issue, you will know that, okay, this is exactly where they got it from.
Exactly like. Mm-hmm. And then they just sent their heroes on adventures on those exotic places. Mm-hmm. And this game is very much in that interest. Mm-hmm. You know, you knock over that... tall ship model you had on the shelf sitting there for all these years, and the mast breaks and a map falls out. Mm-hmm. Oh, let's go and find what it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's that kind of adventure.
Yeah, and I saw your booth down here at GothCon. There is quite a lot of like adventures and supplements for this game already, right?
We have one adventure called the U-Boat Mystery about a lost U-boat from the Second World War. Mm-hmm. And since this game is set in the 1960s, that's like just 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. Which had some secret tech which was transferred from Germany to Japan in the last days of the war, but sunk it somewhere in Southeast Asia. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And now everybody wants what was on that U-boat.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And then we have... a pack of handouts for that, like a blueprint for the U-boat itself, for the from the science vessel that the villains use, a sea chart for the strait where it sank, and little bits like that. We have a pack of city maps, like tourist maps for Brussels, London, Berlin, and Paris.
Okay.
There is a passport set, because if you are going on international mysteries, international travel, then we have to call the character sheet a passport.
Yeah. I love that detail, having passports as a character. Why has no one done this before? It's ingenious in its simplicity.
Yeah, I've seen something like that in a bunch of handouts for... which one was that? one of the Call of Cthulhu adventures, which had a passport in it. I think it was for the horror. I think it was for the Horror on the Orient Express. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They had a little passport in the handout set.
Oh yeah.
And I thought this must be a character sheet.
Yeah.
And if you call the character sheet a passport, it must be a passport.
Yeah, of course, of course. I love it.
And the game mechanics is loosely based on BRP, right?
Yes.
You could say that?
Yes, it is the same basic principles. It's a basic role-playing, but without the attributes. Mm-hmm. So the necessary...
Which you never use anyway. So.
Yeah, exactly. So why not make them skills so that you actually use them?
Yeah.
So you roll a percentile dice below your value in the skill, and more than higher than what the opponent rolls if it is an opposed roll.
Mm-hmm.
When you hurt somebody, you roll a bunch of d6s. Mm-hmm. 4, 5, and 6 equals 1 point of damage, and 6s explodes.
All right. Okay. Mm-hmm.
If vitality, the hit points run out, you are out of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Out cold, we call it.
Yeah, exactly, because it doesn't necessarily mean that you die. No. You might be knocked out cold or something.
Yes, you're out cold, which means that you're not in the fight anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You could be thrown out the window, you could be captured and held hostage, and you could be sitting against the wall with some birds flying around your head, as you do in those... it is very much based on Belgian comics, so you always see that.
Yeah, I mean, Captain Haddock and Tintin never dies, you know. So.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So you can, if you want to, take the condition wounded instead of taking damage.
Mm-hmm.
That hurts a bit.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a long time to get rid of. Mm-hmm. And it gives you a disadvantage on future rolls.
Mm-hmm.
If you really have to, you can take the condition Mortal Peril.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have that condition and vitality runs out, you're dead.
Okay.
So but there's a mechanic for that as well, in case. Mm.
But until then, you have a great boost on your skills.
Mm. Mm.
And the story points. Tell me the story points. I love them.
Yes, there is a story point economy. It's kind of like the real mechanic of the game.
Mm. Yeah.
You have a number of story points, up to 12. You start with 4 on each session. And then you can gain story points by if you get karma, which is when the ones and the tens in a dice roll is the same.
Oh yeah. Mm.
You can also get story points for activating your disadvantages, your complications, we call them.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, if you get captured by the villains, you get 9 points.
Yeah,
I love that. You get captured so the villain can have its monologue and you have the story points and then you can use them, the hell out of them, to try and break free.
Oh yes, that's the entire idea of it.
Yeah.
So you want an incentive to not fight to the death. You want to get captured, hear this monologue.
Yeah.
Then you can spend these story points to activate your abilities.
Mm-hmm.
You can spend them to flip a roll. So if you roll a 73, you can flip that so that it becomes 37 instead.
Mm-hmm.
You can spend story points to change minor details in the game. Like that guard over there who's guarding our cell, she's actually an ex-lover to me.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so that's quite a big one. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. And the big one, you can if you pay a really, really hefty 6-point cost, then you can make real big changes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for instance, when we play...
There's a dog coming along with keys in its jaws or something.
Something like that. When we played, when we did a playtest, I played Eloise, which is a teenage genius and schoolgirl. We had been captured, so we had full pots of story points, and the evil villain, Von Zadrit, was holding... he was doing his monologue. You can never stop my evil plan. And... you know the rest.
Yeah.
And I paid 6 points, which is for a major change. But do you have to be like a B-movie villain? Bucket Pumpkin, what are you doing here? The other players just lost it. But the game master was great. He just rolled with the punches.
Yeah.
We couldn't... I tried to argue that we should be set free or my mom would never speak to him again.
Yeah.
But of course, then there would not have been any adventures. So instead, we it became sort of an argument where we were finally sent to Eloise's girl room. You know, the one with the pink wallpaper and yeah. lots of stuff, that, plushy animals. And up to your room, without dinner!
I love it. I love it. So, yeah, it's been out for a little over half a year-ish. Half a year-ish, yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's not available in Swedish, right? It's English and French only at the moment.
At the moment, it's just English. The French is, version is at the printer.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
And will be out in... it will come from the printer in like 6 or 7 weeks. Mm-hmm. So I guess that it will start to be sent out like mid or late summer. Mm.
I just love that. You're a Swedish team of game designers. You make this game based on the like Franco-Belgian comics. And yeah, we'll do English and French first. Yes. We'll see about Swedish. We don't know. I just love that.
The fun thing was that I read a review in a French gaming review. And they said, okay, this is great. Why have nobody made this game before? Mm-hmm. And they finished off with... it hurts my French soul that it is a Swedish person who had done it first.
Yeah. The French, we love the French, but they can be quite proud, you know. So,
oh, yes.
What else? Let's mention that also, of course, because the illustrations is also a big part of why you associated with the old Tintin comics and the other Hergé ones.
Yeah. When I decided to make, I didn't really decide to make this game. It just grew on me. Mm-hmm. I have watched Once Upon a Time in Space on Netflix wondered, where is that role-playing game? Mm. There was Valerian and Laura Lynn, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Both the comic and the movie, and why has nobody ever done that?
Yeah.
And then Cobalt, a publisher in Sweden, mm. started to translate the Spirou albums.
Yeah.
And I got one of those, and again, why has nobody done this? And then I thought I should make this.
Yeah.
So I started to look around for someone who could make the illustrations.
Because you also make illustrations, right?
Yes.
Yes.
It's just that I'm not as good as a professional one, mm. and it takes me ten times longer.
Ah, all right. Yeah. Mm.
So I asked my friend Ronja. Mm. Who has illustrated for me before, mm. and asked if she could make something of it. Mm. And, well, she should try. Mm. She said that she would try, and then she just produced a much more improvement on my sketch of the cover. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I was basically, okay, you're hired.
Yeah, of course, yeah. I mean, because... You can't underestimate the value of an illustration's importance on setting the tone for an RPG. Oh, yes. It is as important as the text, because I always say that visuals are our prime sense as yes. humans. So it sets so much of the tone, and she has done a kick-ass job of all the illustrations that I've seen.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
And she worked for about a year. Mm. And produced some 300 illustrations. Mm. I produced a few others, like filler illustrations. Mm-hmm. And we had another comic artist, David Ökvist, mm-hmm. Who did a few as well. Mm. But Ronja made the majority of all the pictures, and she's so kick-ass.
Yeah, yeah. We met her at the GothCon pub on Thursday evening and talked a bit about upcoming adventures and cover art and stuff like that. Yeah.
Yes, we have a few other adventures in the pipeline. Mm-hmm. And she has already made the covers for the first two.
Yeah, yeah. You should see Chris. He's beaming when he's saying this. He's literally giggling and beaming. It's yeah. We talked a bit about the which one was it you wanted the Joel and the guys to do. Which scenario?
That's a good question. I really can't remember. It's too much of a goth convention coma right now.
Yeah, all right. No, but it's, yeah, so is there a bunch of secrecy about those projects, or is there something you could say about those upcoming adventures?
We can talk about, I've already posted the mock-ups of those books.
Okay.
The first one is The Ghost Knight, which is, it starts off as a ghost story mm-hmm. and ends up as a spy story. Mm-hmm. It's set somewhere in a Central European, we call it Tintin Land,
mm-hmm.
one of those fictitious lands, countries which appears everywhere.
Yeah. Bordurian, I remember from my youth.
Yes. Mm. We have Silveria and Arenwald, which are kind of squeezed into between Hungary, Romania, Yugoslavia, which exists still at the time, and Austria, right there in that mess. Mm-hmm. So Silveria's greatest exports, it is a socialist republic, so its greatest exports is spice. And Arenwald is a principality, which is kind of like a bit backwards, but trying to catch up. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So the main story is in a castle hotel near a ski resort, which has now become haunted.
And again, keeping the tone of the setting, the original setting, is so ingenious to, again, create these two neighboring, rivaling countries, which you can draw a lot upon when it comes to story-wise.
Since it is the 1960s, the Cold War is in full swing. Mm-hmm. So we can use these as kind of proxy countries for Cold War stories. The other adventure is the Great Champagne Gallop, which is a farce of inheritance and evil relatives. One of the characters has a bottle of champagne, which on the backside of the label, there is one third of a deed to a champagne house, including the chateau and the lands around it. Mm-hmm. Which, of course, that character didn't know. Mm-hmm. But that pulls him into an adventure to try to get the full deed, which is in three parts. Mm-hmm. And all the relatives to that old owner, they are real scumbags. You really don't want to meet them. and they are, of course, also trying to get the full deed so that they can inherit the castle.
Yeah, it sounds amazing, and I really hope that this game keeps on getting the boost and the hype that we've seen so far.
Oh yes, I hope so too. beyond that, we have lots of ideas, and it's more of a matter which one we should prioritize right now.
Mm. Yeah, and we will definitely play it. Hopefully during a live show, even hopefully this year as well with Sweden Rolls. If not, then we'll do some kind of one shot just for the podcast. But it will definitely reach our table. I'm super stoked about getting it on the table and presenting it to the other ones. Ingela she's both an Anglophile and a Francophile at the same time, so it's gonna be perfect for her, I think. Do you know what, Christer? I think we should talk about your career as a game designer, maybe in a longer interview sometime in the future.
Okay.
And maybe just keep this as a GothCon shorty and, having talked about troubleshooters.
Yes. Okay, that sounds fine.
Yeah, so see you later, Christer, and thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And thank you for listening. Bye-bye. Au revoir. Thank you so much for listening to this GothCon quickie, one of my many GothCon interviews. GothCon is a major gaming convention in Gothenburg, Sweden. We will soon get on with more adventures and one-shots and campaigns. Yes, our very delayed Season 5 of Forbidden Lands will premiere in May, sometime in May. But until then, please enjoy these interviews and perhaps a one-shot or two before we really kick off the epic Forbidden Lands adventures. Thank you for listening. Goodbye and farewell.